Amen. Okay. The audio recording that I'm using for the shiur, it hadn't been switched on. I just switched it on now. You really didn't miss anything. We're beginning today's shiur on Kuf Yud Beis, Amud Beis, about halfway down in the Mechaber, beginning Simon Shin Yud. Today's Dirshu page is Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. It is my hope that we will make at least some serious inroads into Taf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Our learning should also be a schuss for Shalema from a Shemer Ben Estel Fradel, Yitzchak Ben Zion Ben Dusha, Chavadasa Bas Serel, Rivka Bas Shira Leah, and Rafal Yisrael Menachem Ben Itik Nendel. They should have a Rafu Shalema Besar Shachel Yisrael. Our learning should be a schuss for Yonison Ben Michal and Yoel Ben Michal. The Rabbeinu Shalom should watch over them together with all of our other brothers and sisters who find themselves in harm's way. So let's get started. Let's begin Simon Shin Yud. Dine Muktza B'Shabbos, additional halachas that govern Muktza on Shabbos, Ubay Tes Se'ifim. And here we have 9 Se'ifim, says the Mechaber Sif Aleph. Eitz She'tolin Bay Dogim, a stick, a piece of wood that was used to hang fish from. So a fisherman went out, catches fish. He had some kind of a stick that he would use to hang the fish that he caught from. Afa pishahu ma'us, even though this stick tends to be repulsive, the Mishnah Berurah is going to say that it is very malodorous. Mutter l'taltaloi, it is not muktzah, it is mutter and tiltal, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. And the Mechaber explains why. He says, dekai malon b'muktzah mach masmius, kerebi shimin deshari. When it comes to the concept of muktzah mach masmius, we paskin like Reb Shimon, who holds that there is no such thing as muktza machmas mius. So what do the words muktza machmas mius mean? They mean something that is muktza due to the fact that it is repulsive. Now, why should a repulsive item be muktza? So let's remember the very underpinnings of the halacha of muktza. Like we've said many, many times, muktza is the opposite of muchan. Muchan means prepared. Something that's muchan, prepared for Shabbos use, something that has a use on Shabbos, something that a person has in his mind, that it has potential usage on Shabbos, is not muktza. It is prepared for Shabbos use. Something that is muktza is something that is set aside from Shabbos use. It's something that has no use on Shabbos, or it's something that a person in his mind has separated himself from. He clearly has no intention of using this item on Shabbos. Now, there could be a thought that something which is repulsive is something that a person will not use on Shabbos. Why? Because of its repulsive nature. Now, somebody's not going fishing on Shabbos, so he's definitely not using it to hang fish from. But this stick is a keli. It's a utensil. It's something that has a use. I'm not even sure that it would be characterized as a klisha malachta l'isser. I'm not sure what isser there would be in hanging fish on it, unless the fish itself, we learned raw fish is muktza. So I guess the raw fish would be muktza. But this item is a keli, and it certainly could have some kind of machmas gufay usage. If a tzarech mekayma, tzarech gufay, definitely there could be some utility to it, but you might have thought that this keli should be muktza on Shabbos because since it's repulsive, somebody is maktza daitoy from it. They separate their mind from it. They stay away from it because it is repulsive, and therefore maybe it becomes muktza, says the Mechaber. Indeed, Reb Yehuda would hold that way, but not Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds that there is no such thing as muktza machmas mius, and the Mechaber says that is how we paskin. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. He's cut in olive, says the Mishnah Berurah, eitz zeh heavy keli. This stick is a utensil. Kevin shemayuchad litlois dagim. It's a utensil. It's made for a specific usage, and it is roy for that usage. It's made to hang fish from, so it is a keli. Elamishum demos derecha ra. However, since it's repulsive because it smells bad, hevila Rabbi Yehuda muktza machmas mius. Rabbi Yehuda holds that because of its repulsive nature, somebody will not use it, and therefore he separates himself from it, and it should be muktza machmas mius. However, avanon kavilon krebi shimon deshari, we paskin like Reb Shimon, who holds that there is no such thing as muktza machmas mius. Moving along to Sif Beis, says the Mechaber, Ein shum oichel talush hara'i la'achila mukta l'shabbos. Any type of foodstuff that is detached from the ground and is ro'i la'achila, such a food cannot become mukta. So foods, if they're detached from the ground and they are ro'i la'achila, they cannot be mukta. And the Mechaber continues and he says, the tamarim, dates, ushikedim, nuts, ushaar peros, any other type of produce, ha'imdim l'schayra, even if really they're set aside to be sold. So I've used this case many times before. Somebody has an apple orchard and he picked all of his apples, and his ikar intention with these apples is to sell the apples. So the apples that he has harvested from his apple orchard, essentially, they're his inventory that he intends to sell. Having said that, says the Mechaber, Mutar lechal mehem b'Shabbos, if on Shabbos he decides that he wants to eat one of those apples, he may do so. It's not considered mukta. So again, what did the Mechaber just say? He said any food item that is detached from the ground is not going to be mukta on Shabbos. And then he tells us a chiddush, a type of fruit or any type of produce which is really oimid l'schayra, really the owner's intention is to sell them, and therefore you might have thought that they should be mukta. Why should they be mukta? Because he's makta daitoi from them. Maybe mentally he separated himself from using those apples on Shabbos because those apples are inventory apples. Really, he intends on selling those apples. So you could have thought that maybe those apples are mukta, says the Mechaber, they're not. Mutar lechal mehem b'Shabbos, you're allowed to eat them on Shabbos. Let's take a look here at the Mishnah Berurah, who explains why. Says the Mishnah Berurah, cut and bays, ein shum oichel. So the words of the Mechaber were, anything, any foodstuff that is detached from the ground, de bedavar she'ein oichel, well, first, the Mishnah Berurah points out, Siv Beis here, we're talking about something which is edible, like produce, fruits. B'davar she'ena oichel, by other types of items other than foodstuffs, af l'Rebbe Shimon yesh mukta l'pa'amim, even Rebbe Shimon, we just said in Sif Aleph that when it comes to mukta machmas mius, we paskel like Rebbe Shimon, and there is no such thing as mukta machmas mius. Now in Sif Beis, we're saying that edible produce that's detached from the ground is not mukta. But other items are mukta, even Reb Shimon. We paskel like Reb Shimon by mukta machmas mius. But even Reb Shimon, who is more makel than Reb Yehuda when it comes to mukta, even he agrees that there are items other than foodstuffs that are mukta. Kigoyed mukta machmas chisar and kis. For instance, something that is mukta because you would not use it because you're afraid of taking a financial loss. Ukumashin is bar b'simin shin chesif aleph. V'chein b'davar she'ene keli. Or all of the types of items that we've discussed that are mukta machmas gufay because they're not kelim, they're not utensils, and they're not foodstuffs. Kigoyin, for example, ma'is money, utsroyrois or pebbles, va'avonim or stones, v'kiyoitza b'zeh, sticks and stones and pebbles and money. All of these things that we've been discussing in the last couple of simanim, where we've said that they're mukta machmas gufay, Reb Shimon would agree that these items are mukta, v'kiyoitza b'zeh, or anything else similar. Icecut and gimel, talush. The Mechaber said we're talking about foodstuffs that are detached from the ground. If we were talking about a food item that was still attached to the ground during the Banish Moshe's period, gamke lekuliyama hevi mukta, that would be another case that even Reb Shimon would agree is mukta for the entirety of Shabbos, she'ein daita alof me'esmoil, because it's not muchan. You didn't have a thought to use it on Shabbos, v'ayin b'beis Yosef. Because, let's think about this for a moment. Let's say there was an apple that was on the tree when Shabbos came in during Banish Moshe's. Obviously, that apple is not muchan for Shabbos use because it was on the tree, and you're not allowed to pick it off the tree on Shabbos. So that's why the Mechaber says foodstuffs that are detached from the ground aren't mukta, but foodstuffs that were still attached to the ground, those would be mukta. Now, the Mechaber said this is true even if the foodstuffs are really inventory that is destined for sale. Even though they are prepared for sale, the owner of produce, the owner of any kind of food, even if he set that food aside to be inventory, he never really mentally completely separates himself from it. Because if he's hungry and he needs it and there's nothing else to eat, he is certainly going to dip into his inventory and eat it. If he's stuck in a bind and he has to feed it to his wife and kids, he's certainly going to feed it to his wife and kids. So again, we have to remember, since the whole underpinning of muktzah is the idea that it's the opposite of mukhan, something is muktzah when it's completely set aside from Shabbos use. The Mechaber is telling us, when it comes to foodstuffs, even if you set it aside really to be inventory for sale, doesn't matter. You still never really fully mentally separate yourself from it. If you're hungry on Shabbos and you need it, you will dip into your inventory and you will take it and eat it, and therefore it is not muktzah. Let's continue here in the Mechaber. Says the Mechaber now, another halacha, another chiddush. Va'afilu, even, chitim, kernels of wheat, shezira'am bekarka, that you planted in the ground. So this fellow is a farmer, and he's a wheat farmer. He produces a wheat crop. So he took some kernels of wheat, and he used them for seed. So he went, and he stuck them into the ground. Now think about this for a minute. In the previous case, we said, you have an apple orchard, you harvested your apples. Your apples aren't muktzah, because even though they're set aside to be inventory, if you're hungry, you'll dip into them, and you'll use them on Shabbos. Now we're going to another level. Now we have another chiddush. This person is a wheat farmer. He harvested his wheat, but he took a certain amount of wheat and he's using it for grain, for a seed. Not only is he using it for a seed, he already took it and he already stuck it in the ground. So now, mentally, he already set this wheat aside to be seed. And then he went and he actually did a maisa. He went ahead and biodayim, he went ahead and he did something. He went and he planted them into the ground. Still in all, says the Mechaber, afilu chitim shezram bekarka, even wheat kernels that you planted into the ground, va'adayim lo yishrishu, but they did not yet take root. Or another example of the same thing, ubeitzim, or eggs. So a hen laid an egg. And now you took the egg, shetachas atarnegolus. You took an egg, and you went ahead and you put it into the nest under a hen. So you had a fertilized egg, and somehow there was no hen on top of it. Now, it's a fertilized egg, but right now you can still make scrambled eggs out of it. But you don't want to make scrambled eggs out of it. You want this egg to hatch into a chick. You're a chicken farmer. You want to create another generation of chickens. So you took the egg, and you put it under a hen. So here again, we have the same thing. Not only did you mentally designate it to be an egg that is going to be hatched into a hen, into a chick, you actually took it biyadayim and you put it into the nest under the hen. So you did an action biyadayim to set it aside. Still and all, says the Mechaber, mutter l'taltalan. These items do not become muktzah. Again, I want to stress what the chiddush over here is. The chiddush over here is, here you have wheat kernels that you designated to be seed, and then you went ahead and biyadayim, you planted them in the ground. You have an egg that you designated to be hatched into a chick, and you actually took it biyadayim, and you put it under a hen in the nest. So it certainly sounds like you separated yourself from it, and it should be muktzah, says the Mechaber. No, it's not muktzah. Mutter l'taltalon, says the Mishnah Berurah Katan Hei. Fafil chitin shezram ubeitzim. Da'af agav didochinu biyadayim ilihishtamish b'hen. Even though in these cases you did an action biyadayim to set them aside and to show that you're not going to use them, mikam mokayim, nevertheless, kevin dechazion lalakton v'lechol, since they still could be collected and eaten, you still could go ahead and take the wheat kernel out of the ground and eat it. Now, we'll have to discuss how exactly that's possible on Shabbos, but you still could take the wheat kernel out of the ground and eat it. It didn't take root yet. And you still could take the egg out of the nest from under the hen, and you could still make scrambled eggs out of it. You could still eat it. Well, you can't make scrambled eggs on Shabbos. But you could crack it open and you could swallow it. People used to eat raw eggs, loy have a mukta. It's not mukta. Delikisha yil mukta, this is a very important Mishnah Berurah. Delikisha yil mukta, in order for something to become mukta, ba'inan shnei pratim. There are two boxes that you need to check off for something to become mukta. Dachinu biyadayim v'loy chazu. There has to be, at least in this case, when we're talking about foodstuffs that would not be mukta on their own, in order to make them mukta, there are two boxes you need to check off. One is didachinu biyadayim. You have to actually do a physical act to it to show that you're being makta to it, and v'loy chazu. And they have to be unusable. We're going to see a case of that at the end of this sif. So in these two cases that we just mentioned, so let's say the wheat kernels. You were dachinu biyadayim. You did biyadayim, a physical act, to show that you're makta them. You went ahead and you stuck it in the ground, but they're still chazim. They're still usable. You could take it out of the ground and you could chew it up. The egg, you were dachinu biyadayim. You did a physical act. You took the egg, you put it under the hen. So you did a physical act to show that you're being makta it, but it's still chazim. You can still retrieve the egg, and crack it open and swallow it. And therefore, they are not mukta. Eis cut involved. The case of the mechaber with the wheat is, he says, you took the wheat kernel and you stuck it into the ground. Vayin b'me'iri shakasav, take a look at the me'iri who writes, the dafka kishalo yhoyu azra madayin mechusin ba'ofar. We're talking about a case where, yes, you stuck the wheat kernel into the ground, but you did not cover it with dirt. And that's why you could still retrieve it. Had you covered it with dirt, there would be no way for you to retrieve it on Shabbos. But now, since you didn't cover it with dirt, you could still pick it out of the ground. Where we will discuss this in greater detail. And the Mechaber said, this halacha only remains true if loy hishrishu, if you stuck the wheat kernel into the ground and it did not yet take root. The ishrishu, because if it already took root, hayichayv misham oikar davar migiduloy, then it wouldn't be possible for you to pick the wheat kernel out of the ground and eat it. You can't do that because you would be detaching it from the ground, and that would be the issur daraisa of being oikar davar migiduloy, uprooting something from where it grows. The Mechaber's second case was an egg that's under the hen. What the Mechaber means to say is, what you did was, you took a fertilized egg on Erev Shabbos, you put it into the nest, you took a hen, and you put a hen on top of it. So that's your dachinu biyadayim. But it's not mukta because you only checked off one checkbox. It was dachinu biyadayim, but it's still chazu. It's still something that you could retrieve and use on Shabbos, and therefore it does not become mukta. Continues the Mechaber on the same vein. Four lines up from the bottom near the end of the line. V'chein, similarly, timorim, dates, halukutim kaidam bishulan, that were picked before they were ripe. So you have unripe dates. V'kainzen oisam bisalim, and now you went ahead and you placed them into specialized baskets. They used to weave baskets out of date palm branches. Think about lulavim. Now, these date palm branches have a natural warmth to them. So we know that there's an old trick. If you want to ripen avocados, let's say, you take the avocado, you put it together with an apple in a brown paper bag, you close it up, it makes it ripen faster. That's what these baskets were. These were specialized baskets that exuded a natural warmth, and by putting the dates into these baskets, it would hasten the ripening of the dates. So now over here, somebody went ahead and he picked dates before they were ripe. V'koinzen oisam b'salim, and now he put them into these specialized baskets, v'heim misbashlin me'alein, and now they're going to ripen. So too, what do you have over here? You have a food item, you have dates. What did you do? You were dechinu b'yodayim. You did an act b'yodayim to be makze them. How so? You put them into the basket. Now the intent of putting it into the basket is to leave it there until it becomes ripe. So that means you are dachinu biyadayim. You went ahead, you put it into the basket so that it should remain there and it should become ripe. Still and all, says the Mechaber, mutu lecha mehem kaidim bishulan, on Shabbos, you would be allowed to take these dates out of the basket and eat them. So again, it's the same chiddush. You have the date. You are makzit. You are dachinu biyadayim. You did an act putting it into the ripening basket to show I'm removed from these dates. My intention is to leave them in that basket so that they can ripen. Still in all, on Shabbos afternoon, if you want to take one of these dates before they become ripe and you want to eat them, you may do so. They're not muktza. Now let's take a look here at the Mishnah Berurah. Explains the Mishnah Berurah, he's cut and test, koydim bishulon. The reason why this is mutter is because even though you went ahead and you put them into these specialized baskets, adayin ikada achalu huwahi, there are still people who would eat them the way they are. And therefore, again, you only checked off one of the checkboxes. It's tachinu biyadayim, by putting it into the basket, but they're still chazu. They're still worthy of being eaten. There are still people who would eat them, and therefore they are not muktzah. Masha Einkein, this stands in contrast to what's going to be the next case of the Mechaber. Masha Einkein begroigroi svitzimukin, when it comes to figs that you put out to dry, or grapes that you put out to dry into raisins, kishehenichon liyabshon v'nishtomat, when you spread them out on the roof or in the field in the sun in order to dry them and you leave them there for a little bit, shuv einon ru'uyin la'achila ad sheyisyavshu. We've spoken about this before. The nature of figs and grapes are, when you put them out to dry, the first thing that happens is they enter into a phase where they become inedible. Then, when they become dry, they become edible again. So now, if somebody took groigrois vitzibukin, if somebody took figs, if somebody took grapes, and he spread them out on the roof or in the field in order to dry them, so first of all, he's dachinu biyadayim. By spreading them out to dry, he's physically removing himself. He's doing a maisa to be makzeh them. So it's dachinu biyadayim, and they're not chazu, because they now enter into a phase where they're no longer edible. So it's not like the dates that you put into the basket. The dates that you put into the basket, even before they're fully ripened, there are people who will eat them that way. So they're still royal achila. So putting it into the basket is dachinu biyadayim, but they're still royal achila. By the groigrois and the tzimukim, it's dachinu biyadayim when you spread them out to dry, and they're loichazu. They're not royal achila when they first begin to dry. And therefore, continues the Mishnah Berurah, ubevada hisichi daita mehem. So by spreading them out to dry, you zichar misiach das from them. You definitely mentally remove yourself from them, and they become muktzah. Issa b'gemara, the Gemara says, tadafka groigrois v'tzimukin, only figs and grapes have this nature. But if you would take apples and you would put them on the roof in order for them to dry, those apples would not become muktzah. Because they never enter into a phase where they become inedible. So yes, you are dechinu biyadayim, but they always remain chazu, so they do not become muktzah. Continues the Mechaber. Third line from the bottom, last word on the line. Avo groigrois vitzibukim, shamanicha maysam ba muktza liyavshan, but figs and grapes that you put out to dry. Now the Mechaber says that where did you put them? Shamanicha maysam ba muktza. You put them in the muktza, liyavshan, in order to dry them. So let's take a look right away at Mishnah Berurah Ois Katan Yud. The Mishnah Berurah identifies this muktza. What does that mean? That you put them into the muktza. Those of you who were with me in the shir when we learned Chelek Dalid might remember that the muktza was an area in the backyard. Says the Mishnah Berurah Ois Katan Yud, Rechava she'achorei abatim karoi muktza. The street or the yard behind the houses was called the muktza. Why was it called the muktza? Because that was a storage area. Back in the day, the front yard was like an extension of the house. The front yard is where they had their stoves and their ovens and where they did their laundry, etc., etc. So the chatzar in the front of the house was made for hishtamshus. That was an area where they did things. The backyard was where they kept the kindling, the firewood. That's where they had the ashpa, the garbage dump. That's where they had their storage area. And that was called a muktza.
because anything that was there was really set aside. The hoisir, what the Mishnah Berurah just said was like this: taking groigrois for tzimukin and putting them out to dry makes them mukta. Now, we just explained, why does it make them mukta? Because you're checking off both boxes. You're dachinu biyadayim, by spreading them out to dry, you're showing that you do not intend on eating these groigrois for tzimukin for the foreseeable future, because you're leaving them out to dry, and also they're not chazu, because they become inedible. Well, says the Mishnah Berurah, how about if you're not really checking off both boxes? Let's say you're working very late on Friday afternoon, and you're out in the yard, or you're on the roof, and you're spreading out your figs and your grapes to dry them into dried figs and to dry them into raisins. And while you're doing it, you're snacking on them. And you're working all the way until Shkia. So mamish, 2 minutes before Shkia, remember you have to be b'kayim the chiv of Tais v'Shabbos, you have to add on to Shabbos from the weekday, so you can't work mamish until Shkia. So 2 minutes before Shkia, you were snacking on these grapes and you were snacking on these figs. And then, fine, it's time for Shabbos, you're makabel Shabbos, and you walk away. Now you're telling me that these figs and these grapes are going to be mukta, and we're going to see later the mukta for the entirety of Shabbos. Why? Because you were dechidu b'yadayim, and they're loy chazu, they're not royal achila. Really? I ate them 2 minutes before Shkia. You're telling me that during Ben Hashmashas they suddenly became not royal achila? I mean, it sounds a little bit of a stretch. Says the Mishnah Berurah, yes, even if you were snacking on them up to 2 minutes before Shkia, they still become muktzah. Afilu hachi shem muktzah alein. And this is not the Chavetz Chaim's own Torah. This comes from the Gemara. And the Mishnah Berurah says, the hashta came with the nichan liyavshan asach daiti minayu. It's true that technically, you might not really be checking off both checkboxes, because they might not really become not royal achila. But for the purposes of Hilchos Mukta, you are checking off both boxes. Why? Definitely you were dechinu biyadayim. That's for sure. That's there's no kasha on. You spread them out to dry. That's dechinu biyadayim. You did a maisa to be makta them. But also, in the maisa that you did, is the understanding, you know, that when you put the groigrois and the tzibukin out to dry, you know that very soon after you put them out to dry, they enter into a phase where they become inedible. So it's not only that you're dechinu biyadayim, you are dechinu biyadayim with the understanding that you're putting them into a phase where they are going to become not roi l'achila. And therefore, as far as mukti is concerned, you definitely are mesiach das from them. They're definitely not muchan. They're definitely mukta. We really just have to read the rest of the Mechaber over here. So I'm just going to go back to the word avol, the last word on the third line up from the bottom, kufyud beis on the beis. Avol groigrois v'tzibukin shemenicha maisam b'muktza liyavsham. The figs and the grapes that you put out to dry, you put them in the mukta. You put them, let's say, in the backyard, in the storage area. That's where you spread them out to dry. Asurin b'shabbos b'shem mukta. They become aser b'tilpul and b'achila on Shabbos as mukta. Why? Shehin masrichais kaidim sheis yavshu. Because before they dry, they kind of rot. The word masrichais means they rot. And they become inedible. The kevin sheyedei sheyasrichu. Because since you know that by putting them out to dry, you're going to cause them to enter into a phase where they become inedible. He siach daita mehem. You certainly are masiach das from using them. They came into ikatarti, and now since you're crossing off both boxes, dachinu biyadayim, by spreading them out, you are makta them biyadayim, viloi chazu, and you understand that they're going to become not royal achila, heavy mukta, they are mukta. Says the Mishnah Berurah, cut you an olive. Heavy mukta, hainu afilu betiltal asurin, tahare hein ka'avonim va'afar. There will be usur in all types of tiltal. You're not going to be allowed to move them, not tzarech gufay, not tzarech mekaymay, not for any other reason, because they are going to be mukta machmas gufay, like sticks and stones and dirt. They are intrinsically mukta. They have absolutely no use on Shabbos. They're not a meichel. because they're going to become not roi la'achila. They're certainly not kelim, so they're muktza machmas gufay. Now we have an interesting Rama here. Says the Rama, top line, kuf yud gimel amud aleph. Hagod. Yesh ayrim, there are those that say, de'ein hachana shayich bishel enoy yehudi. The concept of something not being muchan, the concept that something lacks hachana, it lacks preparedness, and therefore it is the opposite of muchan, its mukta does not exist bishel eina yehudi when it comes to the belongings of an eina yehudi. Va'afilu groigreis v'tzibukim shebiyadai mutarim. And therefore, if you have an eina yehudi who has figs and who has grapes that he put out to dry on Erev Shabbos, they will be mutter, they will not become muktzah. So let me just explain to you the halacha that the Rama is saying, and then we'll see it inside in the Mishnah Berurah in greater detail. What did we just say about a yid's grogreis and simukim? So you have a yid, he has figs and he has grapes. Now, figs and grapes, the way they are, when they're fresh, they're edible produce, they're certainly not muktzah. That goes back to the very beginning of the shir. It goes back to Sif Beis. If you have edible produce that's detached from the ground, it's not going to be muktzah. So this yid, Reuven, he had figs and he had grapes that are perfectly edible, and they're not muktzah, and they're not going to become muktzah. He went ahead and he made them muktzah. How did he make them muktzah? On Erev Shabbos, he spread them out to dry. By doing so, he was dechinu biyadayim, and he put them into a phase where they're going to become inedible. So he went ahead and he made them muktzah. Now Shabbos afternoon, Shal Shudas time, he looks outside and he sees that the grapes have dried into raisins and the figs have dried into dried figs. They've gone back into a phase where they now are fully edible. So he wants to go take some and he wants to eat them. His chavrusa taps him on the shoulder and says, no, you can't do that. They're muktzah. Your dachinu biyadayim, you put them into a phase where they weren't roi lachila. So during Ben Ashmashas, they were muktzah. They remain muktzah for the entirety of Shabbos. You can't eat them. That's the halacha by a yid. Now let's turn around and talk about the same halacha in the context of an Eini Yehudi. Tony, the Eini Yehudi, has grapes and he has figs. On Erev Shabbos, just like Reuven is busy doing, Tony did the same thing. Tony spread out his grapes and his figs to dry on Erev Shabbos. And now, Shabbos afternoon, Tony's grapes are now raisins, and Tony's figs are now dried figs. And he wants to give some to Reuven. Could Reuven go ahead and eat the ones that came from Tony? Yes, he can. Why? Because the whole underpinning of the halacha of muktzah is that by Reuven, Reuven turned his grapes and his figs into muktzah. Because he did something that shows that he removed them from his mind. He was mesiach das from them, from using them on Shabbos. He was dechinu biyadayim, and he put them into a phase where they're not going to be edible. So he made them muktzah. But that concept doesn't exist by an Eini Yehudi. An Eini Yehudi, Tony, when he spread out his grapes and his figs to dry on Erev Shabbos, was he maktzeh himself from them? Was he mesiach das from them to eat them on Shabbos? No, he doesn't have Hilchos Muktzah. He doesn't have Hilchos Shabbos. So he wasn't Mesiach Das from them. So says the Mechaber, says the Rama, I'm sorry, that this concept that the Eini Yehudi is going to turn his belongings into Muktzah by what he does, doesn't exist. He can't turn his produce into Muktzah. So that's why the Rama says, Yesh Oimrim, that this whole concept does not exist by the belongings of an Einoi Yehudi. He brings this down from the Kolba. He says the Ran is mashba that way. Now let's take a look here at the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah is cut yud beis. The Ein Hachana, Ritzayna Leimah. What the Rama wants to say is, Davar Shu also be Yisrael, Mishum de Iskatsoi ben Hashmashas, something that would be Muktzah if it belonged to a Yid, because during the Ben Hashmashas period, he separated himself from it. And therefore they were not muchan for Shabbos use on Erev Shabbos. This whole concept doesn't exist by a goy. The Eino Eino Yehudi Maksim Yidaita Klum. Because an Eino Yehudi doesn't have Hilchas Muktzah and Hilchas Shabbos. And therefore, he's not Maksa Daitoi from something. He's not Mesiach Das from something. The Kevanchu Muchan L'Ish Echad. And therefore, since Tony's figs and Tony's grapes are definitely Muchan for his use on Shabbos, Muchan L'Koil, they're considered Muchan for everybody and they're not Muktzah. Ava. Now, the Mishnah Berurah draws a very strong distinction, though. When we call Ava, however, Davar the Aser Beben Hashmashus Mishum Mechuber Oy Mishum Shahaya Mechuser Tzeda. Let's say you have something that belongs to an Eino Yehudi, which is much more intrinsically Muktzah. So let's say Tony has an apple tree, and Tony's apples are still on the tree during the Ben Hashmashus period. Those apples are going to be muktzah for the entirety of Shabbos, even though they belong to an Ein Yehudi. We're not going to say, what do you mean? The apples belong to Tony. Tony wasn't Mesiach Das from them for Shabbos. Why should he be? Tony could pick them on Shabbos. So why don't we say the same thing, right? Again, by Tony's figs and grapes, we're saying Tony's figs and grapes don't become muktzah just because he spread them out to dry on Erev Shabbos. Why? Because he wasn't Mesiach Das from them. But says the Mishnah Berurah, not so by apples that are still on the tree. Tony's apples that are still on Tony's apple tree during Ben Hashmashus are going to be Muktzah on Shabbos. Why? Why don't we say the same thing? The answer seems to be because Tony's apples that were connected to the tree during Ben Hashmashus are also Muktzah for another reason. The reason that Muktzah is we're afraid that if we're going to let a Yid eat an apple on Shabbos that was attached to the tree when Shabbos came in, and this apple was picked, albeit by Tony, on Shabbos, then Reuven the Yid might come to pick apples on Shabbos as well. And therefore the halacha doesn't apply over here. Or something that's mekusar tzeda. If Tony trapped an animal on Shabbos, it cannot be eaten by a Yid for the same reason. With Klosha and Yehudi or Tzadah B'Shabbos, Avsha Adavar Ushal and Yehudi, in these cases, even though the item belongs to an Ein Yehudi, L'Kulei Alma Oser, everybody would agree that it remains Muktzah for the entirety of Shabbos. V'chein Be'isr Noilad Gamkein Hachi, the same halacha would apply to something that belongs to an Ein Yehudi that is Oser on Shabbos because of the Isr of Noilad. Continues the Mishnah Berurah Katan Gimel, V'afilu Gregreis, even figs or grapes that belong to the Goy, even though the Ein Yehudi on Erev Shabbos put them out to dry, so he was dechinu biyadayim, and he put them into a phase where they're going to become inedible, they still do not become muktzah according to this Ramah. However, take a look at the Sefer Beis Meir, Shemefakfik Bazem Oid, who takes very strong issue with this Ramah. And he says, since the fact is that the Ein Yehudi was matcheh them biyodayim, and they become inedible, what? Just because it happens to belong to a goy, so the yid is not mesiach daiter from them? Take a look at the Beis Meir, who discusses this in great detail. The Graz agrees with this Beis Meir. And therefore, Mefarish, the Mairi HaShulchan Aruch Dafka, Begregreis V'tzibukim T'chazu V'loi Chazu. He says over here, we must be discussing figs and grapes that enter a phase where they still are somewhat edible. And that's why the Ramah is being makel. It's in that case that the kolbay that the Ramah is quoting says that if it belongs to an Ein Yehudi, it doesn't become muktzah. Because ultimately it really still is somewhat animal and it belongs to an Ein Yehudi, deina maksimi daitok. Sif Gimel. Three lines down in the Mechaber says the Mechaber. So first you have to understand that when it comes to Hilchos Muktzah, so we have always discussed Muktzah in terms of something that you're not allowed to move. So if somebody wakes you up 2 o'clock in the morning and asks you, what's the Isser Muktzah? Oh, the Isser Muktzah is there are certain items that you're not allowed to be metaltal. You're not allowed to move them on Shabbos. And that is true. That is the basic halacha of Muktzah. Then there's another halacha of mukta, which is there are foodstuffs that become mukta, like these groigrois and simukin. They're foodstuffs that became mukta, and now, like we said, even if they become edible on Shabbos afternoon, you're not allowed to eat them. Over there, there's another aspect of the halacha of mukta, which is you're not allowed to move them, and they're also aser ba'achila. So this is a type of mukta with is both an iser tiltal, you're not allowed to be metaltal, these grape, these raisins and these dried figs. There's also an iser achila. You're not allowed to eat them. Also, because of the iser mukta, you're not allowed to eat them. Says the Mechaber Sif Gimel, bein be iser achila, bein be iser tiltal. Whether we're dealing with something that you're not allowed to eat because it's mukta, or something that you're not allowed to move because it's mukta, kol davar shehayah roye bein hashmashos, anything that was not mukta during the bein hashmashos period. If something happened to that item during Shabbos, so that during Shabbos it became, let's say, not royal achila. So when it's not royal achila, it becomes mukta. But then it got better during Shabbos and it became royal achila again. Chazar leheterai, it becomes mutter. But something that was mukta for the entirety of the Ben Hashmashos period, Aser Kalayim, remains mukta for the entirety of Shabbos. Let me explain to you outside very simply and succinctly what the Mechaber just said. We have quoted over and over again the rule, Kevin de Iskatsoy le Ben Hashmashos, if something is mukta for the Ben Hashmashos period, Iskatsoy le Kulayuma, it remains mukta for the entirety of Shabbos. And the way I've said it many times, the mukta status of an item to a large extent is determined by the Bein HaShemashos period. So for example, we're talking about these groigrois and simukin. The person put them out to dry on Erev Shabbos. During the Bein HaShemashos period, they were mukta. Even if they become edible, Shabbos afternoon, Shalosh Shudas time, they're still mukta. You're not allowed to move them, you're not allowed to eat them. Why? Kevin de Iskatsoyle Ben Hashmashos, since they were mukta for the Ben Hashmashos period, Iskatsoyle Kulayuma, they remain mukta for the entirety of Shabbos. In Sif Gimel over here, what the Mechaber is saying is, that's only true of the Ben Hashmashos period. But let's say something was not mukta during the Ben Hashmashos period, but something happened Shabbos morning. And something made this item mukta on Shabbos morning. So it wasn't mukta Friday evening during the Ben Hashmashos period, but it was mukta Shabbos morning from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Over there, do we say that once it became mukta for the 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock period Shabbos morning, it remains mukta for the rest of Shabbos? No. That magic only applies to the Ben Hashmashos period. If something is mukta during Ben Hashmashos, its mukta status has been determined. It remains mukta for the entirety of Shabbos. But if something was not mukta during Ben Hashmashos, so then, yes, it's true. Something could happen on Shabbos to make it mukta. But if that problem disappears, it will only have been mukta temporarily. So if something happened to render it mukta from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, and then that issue disappeared at 12 o'clock, so then it will have been mukta from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, and then at 12 o'clock, when that issue resolves itself, it will no longer be mukta. And that's what we call ein mukta l'chatzi yoim. The mukta status cannot be determined in middle of Shabbos. It can only be determined during the Ben Hashmashos period. Now, against that backdrop, let's take a look here at the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Kat Yudalit. So the Mechaber opened up the Sif by mentioning the two different types of mukta, an Isser Tiltal and an Isser Achila. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Bein B'Isser Achila. Hi, Bein Bein. These two types of mukta that the Mechaber mentions here have a Revusa Tvei Bereisha Le'inyan Isser Achila. There's a bigger Chiddush in the first case that the Mechaber says, right? The Mechaber says whether the Isser is an Isser Achila or if the Isser is an Isser Tiltal, either way, if it wasn't Muktzah during Bein Hashmashos and it only became muktzah at some point during Shabbos, if that issue resolves itself, it will no longer be muktzah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that halacha is a bigger chiddush when it comes to the Isser Achila of muktzah. Why? Because based on a Gemara and a Tosfos, we see that the Isser Achila of muktzah is treated more stringently than the Isser Tiltal of muktzah. So it's a bigger chiddush to say that if something became Asr Ba'achila because of muktzah at some point during Shabbos, and then the situation resolves itself, it will once again become mutter later. It's a bigger chiddush to say that than it is to say that in the context of the Isser Tiltal of muktzah. Or return to Loimar, and what the Makabri is saying is, the Loimar boil in your Tiltal Ba'alma, certainly when it comes to the Isser Tiltal of muktzah, Bevadai Amrinan de Ein Muktzah Lachasi Shabbos. Over there, we certainly say that the muktzah status will not be determined in the middle of Shabbos. And therefore, something will become mutter betiltel when the muktzah problem goes away during Shabbos. Ela filu la'achloi mutter. The bigger chiddush is that applies even to the iser achila of muktzah. Okay, oiskot tesvav. Here's where the Mishnah Berurah is going to give us some examples of what we're talking about. Says the Mishnah Berurah, everybody daughter, keep going. For example, let's go back to the case where you had spread out. Grapes to dry into raisins and figs to dry into dry figs. Kigoyim. Sheyordu gishamim al hatzimukim. You put out grapes to dry into raisins on Monday morning. You put out figs to dry into dried figs on Monday morning. And they stayed out all week. And by the time Shabbos came around, there were already raisins and there were already figs. By the time Ben Hashmash's Friday evening came around, there were already raisins and there were already figs. So when Shabbos started, during the Ben Hashmashas period, these raisins and these dried figs were not muktzah. They weren't in the phase with a not roi lachila. No, they're perfectly edible grapes and they're perfectly edible dried figs. So right now, when Shabbos started, if Friday night, you want to go outside and you want to take some raisins, you want to take some dried figs and you want to eat them, kol hakavod, go ahead. But now, you know what happened? Yordu gishamim alatzimukim. It rained, and the grapes, the raisins, got wet. V'nitbechu, they drank up the moisture, and they swelled up. Ad she'enon ru'uyin la'achila. They were roi la'achila when Shabbos started. When Shabbos started Friday evening, they were perfectly edible raisins. Overnight, Friday night, it rained. And when it rained, the raisins went backwards. They went back into the phase where they became not roi l'achila. Now, when they're not roi l'achila, they're muktzah. What are they? They're not kelim. They're not a food. They're not roi l'achila. So when they became not roi l'achila, they became muktzah. But v'akakach shazof san hashemesh, then Shabbos morning, the sun came out, and the sun shone on them, v'nisyafshu, and they dried again, achinasi ru'uyin. And now they became roi l'achila again, chazar l'heteroi. They become mutter. So just for the sake of clarity, let me again go through the case that happened over here. You put out the grapes to dry into raisins Monday morning. By the time Friday evening Bein Hashmashas came, there were raisins and there were roi l'achila and they were absolutely not muktzah. So when Shabbos started, these raisins were absolutely not muktzah. Overnight, it rained. When you got up to go down to the Sikin at 6 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos morning, you looked outside and you saw raisins that are no longer roi l'achila. They swelled up from the rain and they became not roi l'achila. Now, right then and there, when they're not roi l'achila, they're muktzah. So here we have an item that was not muktzah during the Ben Hashmashas period Friday evening, and it became muktzah Shabbos morning. Then, a little bit later Shabbos morning, the sun came out, shone on them, dried them up again, and they became roi l'achila again. So now the situation that made them muktzah resolved itself, and now they're no longer muktzah. That's the case that the Mechaber is saying, ain muktzah l'chasi Shabbos. The fact that they became muktzah for a couple of hours Shabbos morning is not going to render them permanently muktzah for the rest of Shabbos. If the situation resolves itself and they're no longer muktzah, they're no longer muktzah. V'atam, and the reason for this, says the Mishnah Berurah, is the ain shaykh shem muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. we do not determine the muktzah Shabbos, in the muktzah status, in middle of Shabbos. Kevin Shaben HaShmashah, so you're right, since during the Ben HaShmashah's period it was not muktzah, it's not muktzah. Now, of course, while it was Eina Roy La'achila, it is muktzah. But once that situation resolves itself and they dry up again, they're no longer muktzah. Kasav HaTaz. Taz writes a very interesting halacha, which, by the way, happens to be Negeya, I believe, in my community here. This Shabbos, I believe, is going to be a Shabbos bris. Kasav HaTaz, Taz writes, Izmol Shamal Babi Shabbos. A mila knife that you use on Shabbos. Now, let's remember, a mila knife is one of the items that we discussed a while ago, which is muktzah machmas chesaron kis. A moyel will not use his mila knife to cut an apple, because a mila knife is a specialized instrument. It's valuable. He's not going to risk using it to damage it. So the din of a mila knife is that it's muktzah machmas gufay. It's muktzah machmas chesaron kis, which means that it's muktzah machmas gufay. You're not even allowed to move it tzarich gufay and tzarich mekaymay. The exception is you're allowed to use it to do a bris mila. Let's remember, first of all, that the whole mila is doicha Shabbos. Right? Mila, you're drawing blood. The whole mila is doicha Shabbos. So certainly it's doicha the derabbanan of muktzah. So you're allowed to use the mila knife to do a mila. But the problem is, you pick up the mila knife to do the mila. You do the mila. Now the mila is finished. Now you're holding a knife, which is muktzah machmas chesaron kis. What do you do with it? So that's what we're discussing over here. Famous machlokes to Taz in the Magen Avraham. Kasav HaTaz, the Taz writes, Izmel Shamal Babi Shabbos, a mila knife that you use to perform a mila on Shabbos, ain't l'taltalai achar amila. You're not allowed to be metaltalai after the bris. Toha muktzahu machmas chesaron kis. It's something that's muktzah machmas chesaron kis. Toha oda makbit shalai lishtamish poi dover achar. Because the moil will not use it for any other purpose. Udaloi kehamakilin l'taltalai say. And the Taz says, not the halakh is not like those who are makel and say that you could move it mitam de in muktzah lachatzi Shabbos. See, this is why we're discussing this halakh here. Essentially, you could look at this and you could say that we're dealing with something that became muktzah during Shabbos. Why? Because obviously it was mutter betiltel. You were allowed to use the mila knife and handle the mila knife while you were doing the mila. And then the minute you finish doing the mila, it turned back into something which is muktzah machmas chesaron kis. So there are those that want to look at this and say, what do you mean? Ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. Since it was mutter betiltel when you were doing the mila, and it only became also betiltel again when you finished the mila, maybe we say ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. It doesn't remain muktzah for the rest of Shabbos. Says the Taz, no. The Taz said, no, you can't say that, because let's go back to the rule of Kevedis Katsoy Lebenesh Moshes, Iskatsoy Lekula Yuma. What was the muktzah status of the mila knife during the Benesh Moshes period Friday evening? It was an item which is muktzah machmas chesaron kis. So since it was muktzah during the Benesh Moshes period, it's muktzah for the entirety of Shabbos. Aye, how were you allowed to use it to do the mila? Because hello, mila is doicha Shabbos. And therefore, even though during the Ben HaShemashas period, Friday evening, you knew that you're going to be metalt on the knife to do the meal on Shabbos morning, the minute you finish the meal, it's once again muktzah machmas chesaron kis, the same way it was during the Ben HaShemashas period. Alkein, therefore, since that's the case, what do you do with the knife? What should the moil do with the knife? He finished doing the meal, now what? What does he do with the knife? The Taz says, okay, you did the mila, you got to do something with the knife. Put it away somewhere in the room where you did the mila. But don't go and carry it home with you. It's muktzah machmas chesaron kis. You got to put it somewhere. You're holding it in your hand when you finish the mila. So, okay, put it away in that room. When it comes to the ikar halacha that we're discussing, the Magen Avraham agrees with the Taz. However, Daitoi, the Magen Avraham's opinion is sheyesh lahachmir, that you should be machmir, shebaoidshoi izemel biyodoi, the moil should be machmir, that while he's still holding the knife, lo yanichenu miyodoi, he should not put it down, ad sheyanichenu b'mokam ha-mishtamer, until he could put it into a protected place, oishiyolichenu lebesoi, or he should carry it home. Why? What's the thinking? The kol muktzah shu biyadai, because when you're already holding muktzah, metaltalei le'ezem makom sheyirtzah, you're allowed to take it to wherever you need to go. Ukedel el b'simen shel chesiv gimel. So what the Magen Avraham is saying is, yes, Taz, you're right. This is emel shamila. This mila knife is muktzah. It's muktzah machmas chesari kiz. And but says the Magen Avraham, I want to be machmir. What I want to say is that the moil can't put the mila knife down. He should do the mila and he should continue holding it until he could put it somewhere protected. Because I don't want it to put it down and pick it up again. As long as he's holding it, so if you realize that you're holding a mukta item, you're not mechuyev to drop it wherever you are. You could go put it where you need to put it. So hold on to the mila knife until you could put it into the proper place. Continues the Mishnah word, he says, V'imu gamkein pareya, v'tzarech la'aniach l'izem el miyadoi. Now, if the moyel has to do the priya, and to do the priya, he needs both of his hands, so he has no choice, he has to put the mila knife down. Kasav el yirab writes, she'yikabal achar miyadoi, he should hand it off to somebody else, v'hu yalichen usham l'makam ha'mishtamer, and that person should put it in a protected area. U'makamakam, nevertheless, b'dievet iminicha miyadoi, if the moyel did put it down, and he's afraid that where he put it down, it might get stolen. Then you could rely on the Ramah in Yeredeya and the Shach in Yeredeya, the Seivrim who hold the Mutl Taltaloi, that it's Mutter to move the Mila knife. Behilchas Mila. Halacha l'maisa, what the Mayalim do nowadays generally is, they do the Mila, then they hand off the knife to somebody else so that they can do the Priya and the bandaging and everything else. That person takes the knife and puts it in an area where it would be protected, where no kid could get hold of it, chas v'shalom, and hurt themselves, where nobody else could come to harm, and where the knife will be protected. Finally, Oiskot and Tezayin, Asa Kalayim, the Ikar Hachana Mim, because when it comes to Hachana, which is the opposite of Mukta, Hachana has to be done before Shabbos for something not to be Mukta. Kidiksiv, Vahaya Biyamashishi, Vichinus Hashayavu, Vezahaloi Betrilas Kinisis Ayam, Mukta, Milahish Damish Bay. Okay? Thank you so much for joining me for Leaving Our Torah. The source of Leaving Our Torah should be Megan against Klai Israel. The Rav Shom should send Yeshua's for first Parnas and Shaduchim to those in need. We should be Zaycha to see the Biaskel Tzedek, Mimherev Yamein, Amen. Be well.